morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Fancy Brian Kelly in for Greg Bach, who's still under the weather. Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. I hope you have downloaded the Civic Media app. Wherever you get your app stores, it's absolutely free, and it allows you to call and text directly from the app to whatever show you're listening to across the state, no matter where you are. And this is important because
it is
our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. This is really pretty cool, you guys.
Every
hour, one person will win a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. Every day, one person picks up a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. You have used those tickets.
They are so good. They're right behind home plate.
Ooh.
You also have, it's club level, so it's completely covered. So if any sort of anything happens, you also have a really good view. And behind you is the club level, which is where all the suites go in, and it's carpeted, it's air conditioned, and there are less of the people there. So you have to wait in line less. There are bars to sit at.
Bathrooms.
Bathrooms right at the top of the stairs. Men and women's bathrooms at the top of the stairs, right where those seats are. And those are the clean bathrooms, too.
And then, of course,
not that all the bathrooms are clean, but you know what I'm saying,
guys. Of course,
guys.
Of course. And then we will have two grand prizes. At the end of it, you get to select a unique summer staycation getaway, and we're giving you gas to get there and back. So we're really going to cover you on this. You can select Fort Atkinson Cottage on the lake, including a pontoon boat.
Pontoon boat.
Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores. Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites. And everybody who enters, whether you win or not, daily, hourly, everybody's going to be in the grand prize drawing. And we play this at the 7 o'clock hour, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., different word every hour of those hours, but you can enter every hour.
Yep.
And once you get your notification that you entered, if you click on that link, you can get another couple extra entries.
Little bonus.
All you have to do is check your voter registration.
And you just have to check it.
Yeah. We're not asking you to do anything. We're not telling you how to vote. We just want to make sure people are going to vote.
Yeah. Just make sure you're registered in something. I didn't know that I wasn't registered sometimes. Sometimes it expired. You know, you got to go and look and make sure that you are registered.
Especially if you've moved or something else. Get a little extra entry in there. So here is the word for this hour.
Dun, dun, dun.
The word is lake.
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 L-A-K-E.
Like the last name of our program director, Catherine Lake.
Correct.
L-A-K-E.
Not cake.
No, not cake.
Not fake.
Not fake.
Not Drake.
Not rake.
Not that either. The word is lake.
Not even Blake. It's lake.
L-A-K-E. You have until noon today to text in the word for our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. We have this little unspoken competition going on with Todd Alba, my friend and colleague. And we're going on the road, by the way, next week.
Oh, you're going to have Shake and Bake by the lake?
We might.
All right.
We might. Yesterday, we beat him by one entry.
That was not a mistake.
So let's see if we can keep that up, my friends.
For goodness sake.
Text the word lake direct from the Civic Media app, and you're in the running for all of those great prizes. We had Jeff Mandel on right before the 11 o'clock news talking about Attorney General Josh Call in Wisconsin finally filing felony charges against Jim Troupas, Kenneth Chesbro, or the Cheese Man, as Maggie likes to call him. And Mike Roman, who is a campaign aide, all about the fake elector scheme. And as Jeff pointed out, this all started right here in Wisconsin. We were first.
Yeah, he made the argument that January 6th, the riot and insurrection would not have happened had there not been fake electors in the first place. And the scheme was concocted here. So congratulations, Wisconsin.
We were first.
Yay.
Andrew from Maine texting in, are we aware of any state Democratic conference preparing alternate slates of electors just in case Biden loses?
Yeah, I'm not aware of that. I would not encourage it. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but from what I understand,
it's illegal.
It is illegal.
It's illegal. Jack from Merrimack also texting in, a big problem in my opinion. Far too many people have no idea how our justice system works since we've eliminated all high school civics courses. The issue is not that the fraudulent electors didn't have access to legal advice, and it's definitely not a weaponization of the justice system. Anyone who believes those things is simply ignorant of the facts. It's that apparently legal advice was given to do something unlawful. Yes. And the 10 electoral fraudsters then did the illegal act of attempting to overturn an election that was already judged honest and legal.
Now,
those who believe it's about anything else need to listen to the facts, and especially don't listen to people obviously involved in committing the illegal act.
True.
Yes.
That's
very well said.
Very well said,
Jack. Well said, Jack.
And in addition to civics, just basic scientific method just would lead you to conclude, perhaps I would need to have any sort of conclusive evidence that something was directly stolen this way in order to move forward with something this desperate to go and save the election.
Right.
But there was none. I asked people when the Dropbox issues were happening, when all the illegal voting in the Dropboxes, all the Dropboxes, which just is a locked box where you put your ballot in.
And I used it in 2020 because we were in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah, and I asked several people to explain to me in any way, logical or otherwise.
Make something up.
Tell me that fairies come in and change everybody's votes. Tell me that somebody's vote was changed some way, shape, or form. Tell me where the fraud happened, because it can't just be I feel it. But they're moving on because they feel it.
But there's complete justification for that, Brian Kelly.
Oh.
Going with your feelings over facts. Just listen to House Speaker Mike Johnson talking about all of the hundreds, apparently, of millions of illegal people who are voting in our elections.
We all know intuitively that a lot of illegals are voting in federal elections, but it's not been something that is easily provable. We don't have that number.
Yeah, you
don't. We know it's happening. I feel it's happening.
But they don't have any number.
But we can't prove it.
But they don't have any number of that.
But we feel it, Brian.
Intuitively.
Yes.
There's no evidence of it. I don't understand that. I don't understand doing something as drastic as changing the votes of 3.4 million people because I feel like it was taken. You can't just say, I feel like all these people illegally voted without even a shred of evidence. In fact, illegal voting that happened here in Wisconsin, people on the right wanted to go and prove how horrible absentee, you know, voting was, and they signed up other people to receive absentee ballots and send it to their house, and they tried to vote. But you know how we know that? Because the system caught them.
Because they got caught.
They got caught doing it. They tried to show that look, I can break the law, and no one gets, but they got caught in the middle of doing it. They proved the point that our elections are secure by trying to prove that it wasn't. Like, I don't understand how people continue to go and say it was stolen or it was fraudulent or people voted illegally when time after time. In fact, Wisconsin has been known historically as one of the most secure places. Do you know why? Because we have a decentralized system, which means that you have to, like, coordinate so many different people to change the outcomes of this election.
Oh, yes.
It's so decentralized, you can't actually... Really, it's almost harder to get the votes in because of that.
But that's where you need something magical to happen, like fairies,
yes,
in order to actually pull this off.
Yes.
Angie from Monroe is on the line. Good morning, Angie. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
I just want to say you can check your vote anytime on vote.com and see what you voted. It's all there. It's listed and how you voted. Every time you look into your history, it tells you what you voted and every election that you voted in. So how can they see they don't know what they voted? And I can't even talk.
I know. Okay. It's amazing, Angie. The information is at your fingertips to see how secure your vote is. And just because you don't want to believe it or you don't like the outcome of it,
Nah.
You know what I did when Trump won? I didn't like it. I had hoped that there was maybe some sort of OG last second type of, you know, Florida chicanery.
Right.
But again, it didn't. And I, like Tammy Baldwin, put on my big boy pants and I said, oh, what does this president want to do? Okay, let's get this done. And Tammy actually got more things done and passed while Trump was president than the guy who's pro-Trump in Ron Johnson, because Ron Johnson did nothing besides the tax situation.
And thank you so much for calling, Angie, and we certainly appreciate your frustration. I think there are a lot of people who are equally frustrated by all of this. Just makes you shake your head.
Yeah. I just want it to make sense, Jane. I just want it to make sense.
And again, Andrew from Maine, not only do they intuitively know votes are being cast illegally, they intuitively know those ballots are being cast only for the Democratic presidential candidate, none of the others. Well, you're absolutely right, Andrew, and I've said that from the very beginning. How can you say the election was fraudulent and yet accept your election when you're on the same ballot?
Yes.
That seems like ballot. A big disconnect to me.
It's the same. You need to have some sort of scientific method. Otherwise, you're going to have a group of people, and I'm quoting Metalocalypse here. Bleach is made of water.
Okay.
We are mostly made of water. Uh-huh. Therefore, we are bleach.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, I don't understand, because it doesn't make sense. How can you say Biden won illegally, but all the votes that were cast illegally were for Biden and not for the same people who are on the same ballot? Did you know that when Walker was ultimately defeated by Evers, there were like 150,000 people who voted Walker, Tammy Baldwin?
Yeah.
That's an anomaly. That's weird, but people do that.
Well, and again, if there was this big conspiracy to make sure that Trump lost, why wouldn't they have done this to other down ballot Republican candidates and done the same thing to make sure that they lost?
Just let a certain amount of Republicans win or whatever.
There is no logic here.
Make it make sense.
Mark, I see you on the line. We will return and keep this conversation going. You can always join us. And don't forget, the word to text in right now is Lake, L-A-K-E. So you can get entered into our wonderful Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm going to eat a steak.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Brian Kelly in for Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us. You can call or text, and you can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, you still have until noon today to text the word Lake.
Lake.
L-A-K-E. Lake. Via the Civic Media app, so you can get entered into our great Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest and win some great prizes.
Click that link, voter registration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you get extra.
A bonus entry.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mark from Prairie du Sac has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Mark. We were talking about fake electors and just the ballot drop boxes and all of those things. What did you want to say about that? Mark, are you there? Have we got Mark?
It sounds like we do, but I feel like he may have walked away for a moment. That's all right.
That's all right. Well, we'll just pot him down for a moment.
That's okay.
If you want to call back, you can absolutely call back at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. But again, if you want to enter the statewide text to win contest, you have to text the word LAKE, L-A-K-E, from the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about this briefly. There's still more information to come out about this because I'm not seeing a lot of details. But apparently, there was a kerfuffle at the Baraboo High School graduation ceremony on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this footage yesterday, showed up on my Twitter feed. So this young woman gets her diploma, and she's going down the line to shake the hands of, I'm assuming, all the school administrators.
Mm-hmm. Like you do at a graduation ceremony. Yeah, literally every one of them that has ever existed.
Does this. There's like five people that she's going to go
it's
shake their hands.
The moment you're getting your fake diploma and you'll get it later.
Turns out that while the school superintendent there in Baraboo is black, is a black man. And a report from WMTV in Madison says a parent charged onto the stage at the Baraboo High School graduation ceremony Friday. Running onto the stage before a school resource officer and two off-duty officers stepped in, he was then arrested for disorderly conduct.
He moved the superintendent out of the way.
He pushed him out of the way.
So that his daughter wouldn't shake his hand.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Now, I'm trying to make it make sense. The initial reporting that I've seen didn't really give any motive.
Doesn't say a lot.
But, like, what would it take for you to go and do that for your daughter? What would it take for you to go and step in and say, I don't want this man shaking the hand of my daughter? Like, is the guy an avowed Nazi? Was he known for touching kids inappropriately?
You mean the superintendent?
The superintendent. Yeah. Like, these are the things that might warrant that type of behavior. I'm lost as to what it might be. And I'm completely conjecturing because I don't know. I don't think he's an avowed Nazi, and I'm pretty sure that the reporting of, you know, sexual misconduct would be leading this if that's the case.
If that were the case,
so
absolutely.
I'm left to wonder what is so horrible that this guy can't shake his daughter's hand.
He was escorted out of the building after the incident. The school board president, along with board members and the high school principal, also shared the stage with the superintendent, but the man did not interact with any of them, but only confronted Briggs, the superintendent, who, again, is a black man. I believe he was charged with disorderly conduct. This story probably isn't going away. We'll see if there's much more that comes out about this. But WISC News is reporting that he was caught saying some things.
Oh. So, from what I understand about Baraboo, is that their public statement will be...
it's been handled.
But there's going to be a lot of... I know some people that maybe know some things in Baraboo. We'll go talk to those folks and see what actually happens. But I have to know more before I really get involved.
Yeah. Mark from Prairie du Sac is back. Thank you for calling back, Mark. What did you want to say we were talking about? Did you want to talk about the fake electors and the drop boxes, I assume?
Yeah, the whole fake electors and the drop boxes. Well, intuitively, I think that that for most of these Republican men, at least, they did make the average chair feel like John Holmes because they're so masculinity deprived or masculine. They don't seem to understand that the truth is actually supposed to mean something. There's no evidence that illegals are voting, because why would you risk that? Because it's a serious felony if you get caught voting like that. And these guys just don't see. They're feeding their base. They're feeding Donald Trump. And they don't have the courage to stand up to Donald Trump. The average, you know, that I would have no trouble telling Donald Trump, I think he's a damn fool to his face, or his sons, or any of these damn Republicans are pulling this crap. I mean, I called Ron Johnson's office to read him out, and I remained FCC compliant in my comments this time on him. He was condemning the, you know, charging the fake electors, but this should have happened a long time ago. Ron Johnson's ass should be in jail right now for his role in the, you know, violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. 14-2 of the Constitution, I haven't been ranting on it lately, but 14-2 of the Constitution says, we the people, we the electorate, select the electors, not self-appointed guardians of fascism that these guys have become.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you so very much, as always.
I believe Mark is calling Founding Fathers. I think he's calling Founding Fathers. I'm invoking the Founding Fathers when I'm making my argument. And that's true. I mean, you can't disenfranchise people and expect to be without like actual reason, like real reasons with concrete evidence type of reasons. Do you know how awesome it is when you have truth on your side and you're fighting that way? Like, do you know how I've been doing this since 2016. Like 2017, really. February 2017 is when I got hired with the Devils. I have been doing this. Do you know how exhausting it is to write the word President Donald Trump out every day? You know this because you've been doing it for a couple of years now. It is, I'm in this fight and I'm still energized. Do you know why? Because I have truth on my side. Because I am not doing anything that is like, I'm not making up stuff. Do you know how hard it is to keep a lie going?
And keep the lie straight.
Keep it straight?
It's exhausting.
Oh my.
If you care about keeping the lie straight, I think there are some that just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. And let's not forget, Ron Johnson is outraged because apparently conservative lawyers advising clients is illegal under Democratic tyranny. Yeah, only when they're trying to tell you to go ahead and break the law. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, it's illegal to tell your client to break the law.
News is coming up next. And then I know this intuitively. Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for a public cervix announcement. And don't forget to text the word via the Civic Media app, Lake. Text in the word Lake right now. You have until noon to be entered in to our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast connected Civic Media Radio Network.
Monday, 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 must be fun day in the rich man's world. Monday, 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 always Sunday in the rich man's world. Aha, all the things I could do if I had a little Monday. It's a rich man's.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call through the Civic Media app. Also, we have our statewide Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest is going on. You have until noon to text the word via the Civic Media app. The word is Lake. Text the word Lake, L-A-K-E, on the Civic Media app, and you are entered to win. One person every hour that we play the contest picks up a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. Every day, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. And there's going to be two grand prizes, two winners for the grand prize. You get to pick a summer staycation complete with gas. We're setting you up to get there and back, either in Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, Door County, and all entries, whether you win one of the daily prizes, you win an hourly prize, everybody is entered to win the grand prize. So make sure you text the word Lake, L-A-K-E, by noon today, and you will be entered to win all of those great prizes. You can enter once an hour. If you respond to the link, that will ask you to just acknowledge that you are registered, to check to make sure that you're registered to vote. And you're going to get an extra entry. So that's pretty cool. She joins us every Wednesday at this time, provided there's not some medical crisis going on in her own home. Dr. Laura Hanks is joining us this morning, along with her medical student. Brittany is here. Good morning, ladies. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Morning.
Good morning. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Absolutely. We haven't talked much about that yet. Of course, it is Pride Month. And Dr. Hanks, you do a lot of work with people who are transitioning, correct?
Yep. Yep, I do. And it's a great population. We have great patients here. And it's something that, yeah, really brings joy to our lives and something that Brittany's really interested in. So she was doing a little research this morning and had kind of the history of LGBTQ plus. If we're open to kind
absolutely,
of talking to it, I love, yeah,
absolutely. Because Brittany,
I was a history major, so I love this stuff.
Well, and I think too, I think some people think there were never gay people until 1960, and that
right.
just isn't accurate. It's just not.
No, and it's not. Yeah. So why don't you give us some of the things that you've been thinking about?
Yeah, so I tried to focus on sort of LGBTQ history as it relates to medicine and healthcare, since obviously that's quite relevant to us. And so we sort of talk about how we first started describing LGBTQ people and individuals. And so back in the 1860s, there's a lawyer named Carl Ehrlichs who started describing sexual inversion. And that was sort of the first terminology that was used. And that sort of continued until like the World War II era, where we started seeing the emergence of Freud's work, where he described our modern definition of sexual orientation, where we think of attraction to one's own sex or the opposite sex. And that's kind of still what we use today. But at that time, particularly in the World War II time, there was a lot of focus on psych and psychology, psychiatry, and how we discuss sexuality in medicine. And it was more toward, like, people were thinking more towards treatment and cures than they were of giving healthcare to these individuals.
Yeah, you have to be fixed. We have to fix you.
Right, exactly.
Medicine doesn't always have a perfect history, unfortunately, but you know.
Oftentimes.
But we're often changing and evolving.
Absolutely, and learning new things all the time. That's what science is.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I was talking earlier with Dr. Hanks about how in World War II, they started psychiatric screening for young men that were joining the military. That included screening on sexual orientation. And at the time, there wasn't a whole lot done with that because they needed the bodies. And so they sort of accepted it. But once World War II was over, they started discharging anybody who identified as gay because they didn't want those men in the military.
Right.
And so we started getting these large communities formed in a lot of these port cities. And so we think about some of the major cities that celebrate like LGBTQ individuals and have a lot of pride associated events. And those are places like New York and Boston and a lot of the coastal cities.
Right.
And so that's thought to be where a lot of these communities started forming was after the war. And so when we talk about kind of the diagnostics of sort of sexual orientation, in the 1950s, we came out with the big psychiatric, essentially diagnostic textbooks. It's called the DSM. And that started listing homosexuality as a sociopathic personality disturbance.
Wow.
Along the likes of substance abuse and other sexual disorders.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the DSM is something that is kind of used across all medicines in terms of like diagnosing and categorizing mental health disorders. And it is ever changing. So right now we're on DSM-5. And so this is like the original DSM, which obviously in DSM-5, it doesn't say this anymore. But
I think it's important to point that out. And if you're just joining us, Dr. Laura Hanks is here, as she is every Wednesday for public service announcement. She's with medical student Brittany, and we're talking about the LGBTQ plus population. It is Pride Month. And I know Dr. Hanks and Brittany are very interested in people who are transitioning and just about that community. But when you talk about some of those early diagnoses in these DSMs, yeah, let's not forget that primarily male doctors used to say that women had depressed uteruses, right? I can tell she's really down today.
Well, you know where the term hysteria came from, right? Like hysterectomy, hysteria. It was this, was it Freud who coined it? It was just that the uterus was making you crazy and it was, so you're hysterical.
So give her a hysterectomy and then she's going to calm down.
Uh-huh.
Lovely. That's so lovely. So yes, again, I think it's important to understand that these DSMs do get updated and do change over the decades as we learn new things, as we learn more about everything. I did want to bring this up because I just saw this morning. LGBTQ plus Republicans in Colorado are very upset after the Colorado Republican Party sent out an email to commemorate Pride Month that says basically God hates pride and God hates flags because they don't like the rainbow flag. In your dealing with patients, how impactful is something like this that God hates you. Just because of who you are, God hates you.
Yeah. Just on the one part, I just want to make a comment about the flag. I mean, do they know about Sam Alito's, flag?
I think
situation?
They're fine with that. Upside down flags are good. And the appeal to heaven, we love that one. Just not the rainbow. Okay. That's a bad flag.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, of course. No, I think what's really heartbreaking in our position is that we see a lot of patients who, come to us for help and have sometimes been ostracized by their family or told things like God hates you and you're not my child anymore because have either this, you identify as a different gender than the sex that you were born, or you are attracted to someone that's the same sex as you. And it's really heartbreaking, but it puts us in a very unique position to be able to listen and empathize and maybe be this person's only resource to listen and be able to provide healthcare.
Right.
So it's something that is really kind of magical about our jobs is to be there for these individuals, not only as someone to listen, but also that can provide them the care that they need just like anyone else. So.
And I think it's important to point out as well. And Dr. Hanks, we've talked about this before, but I don't think it can be said enough. 9-year-old girls are not walking into a doctor's office and saying, I'm a boy, I want top surgery next week. And the doctor says, yeah, great, let's do that. That isn't how it works.
Yeah. Now, there is a very interesting population that's kind of, the umbrella term is intersex. So what Brittany gets to learn about in med school and what I learned about is just all the different situations where someone might have ambiguous genitalia or might have an XY chromosome, but because of other genetic abnormalities might look phenotypically like on the outside like a female. So those situations with those people that are under 18, it's a different conversation.
Right.
So we're when we're talking about surgery for gender affirmation outside of intersex individuals, then that is recommended to be after 18 years old.
But there's counseling involved. There's 100%. Many, many, many steps involved before ever getting to that point of having any kind of surgery. And it's
Absolutely.
Not, and it also is, it doesn't happen over the course of 5 months or even a year, right?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a long process. And I think that it's just like anything with health. Anytime we go to the OR, we want to have counseled our patients and to understand the risks and benefits of surgery and making sure that they're a good candidate. And that can be in regards to their health. If you're an uncontrolled diabetic who carries extra weight, even that can not only affect the anesthesia when you're having surgery, but also affect wound healing. Those are all things that we talk about in the office that are very important to anyone that's undergoing surgery.
Andrew from Maine has a comment on the live stream. The process to transition is longer and more involved than the process for tubal ligation.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. I think that, and in some aspects, for cisgender women to get a hysterectomy too. But I think that, being appropriately counseled in both of those situations is hugely important.
And now we have seen some states who have completely banned all kinds of trans care for minors, and they're halting their treatments, kind of in the middle of the process. What does that do to this patient?
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. It's something that we're, really worried about happening here in Wisconsin. And much like a lot of the abortion laws, it's then forcing patients to travel outside of the state. And some people don't have those resources. So it's really, unfortunate. And we know that patients that identify as transgender, gender non-binary are have a much higher rate of suicide because of these social stigmatizations. So if they're not able to get the care, it's literally life-saving care. It really is. And there is data to back that up. So people that say that it's something that you can just take away because it makes you and your religious feelings uncomfortable is inappropriate.
We are going to keep our conversation going. Dr. Laura Hanks is here along with medical student Brittany. For public cervix announcement, if you have a question, you can always call, you can text, and don't forget to text the word LAKE, L-A-K-E, text the word LAKE by noon today via the Civic Media app so you can get entered in our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. We will return. I'm going to take my hysterical uterus and we'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Jane Matnair, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio now in sunny downtown Waukesha. Don't forget, you have until noon, so you got about 9.5 minutes. You have until noon to text the word LAKE, L-A-K-E, via the Civic Media app. It's our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. Every hour that we play it, someone picks up a Wisconsin Dell Summer Prize Pack. Every day, one person gets a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, and two people will get a grand prize. They get to pick their staycation, complete with gas to get there and back, Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, and Door County. And whether or not you win one of the hourly or daily prizes, everybody is entered in the grand prize, which is pretty cool. And you can enter once an hour, every hour, 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock. There's going to be a different word every hour. The word this hour is LAKE, L-A-K-E. So make sure you text that in, and you can be in the running for that. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday for public cervix announcement, joined by medical student Brittany this morning. And Dr. Hanks, you said Brittany's been working on some information about pregnancies and vaccines.
Yeah, switching gears a little bit from Pride Month.
Right,
but,
right.
So she, at the end of rotations in your third and fourth year, you have to take an exam. And so I said, well, what do you want to study? So this is a good time, but it's a good topic, I think, for people to know about, because there's a lot of confusion about which vaccines are safe in pregnancy and which ones aren't. So,
and they start pretty early, Brittany, right? I mean, pregnant women get... There are all kinds of vaccines that babies get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of vaccines that babies get after birth, and then a decent number of vaccines that pregnant patients get while they're pregnant, just to allow that passive immunity to the fetus so that fetus comes out protected. So that's what we were kind of chatting about. And vaccines are a hot button issue, but of people who do want immunization during pregnancy, a lot of confusion about what they're able to get, what they can't get, special circumstances that may arise later on. And so started talking about kind of the routine prenatal vaccines that every pregnant patient should be getting. And so one of the big ones is the Tdap, also known as just the tetanus shot. And that is primarily for the P part, which is the pertussis, which can have a high morbidity and mortality for a young infant, usually within the first couple months of life. So they like to get that into patients. And some patients have had full immunization already during childhood. Some have not had it at all. So the guidelines sort of change depending on what you've had. If patients are fully immunized as during childhood, they should just get like one dose later on in pregnancy, usually between like 27 to like 36-ish weeks. If they're not immunized as a child, we do the full dose series. So we start in pregnancy and then may have to go postpartum.
Do you know why we give it at that point in pregnancy? Got to make sure she's learning.
She's being a teacher.
Yeah. So we give it at that point in pregnancy because it has the best passive immunization passing to the baby. So at right around that, where a patient is going from the second trimester into the third trimester, we know that it's going to cross the placenta. So I tell patients, this is not as much for you as it is for the baby, because pertussis is whooping cough.
I was just going to ask that for people who don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So we get it. It's a cold. It's no fun, but babies get it and they can die from it. So it is very important for patients to get at that point if they're agreeable to it.
Well, and again, it's remarkable to me because I am the age that I am where I got vaccinated for chicken. You know, we got vaccines for measles and all of those things. It was always just what you did was completely normal. It wasn't controversial. And to see how things have changed, especially in the last decade, is kind of remarkable, considering that we have more medical knowledge now than we did before.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think one of the big ones that is a newer vaccine that has come out is the RSV vaccine.
Yes.
And this is a virus that is well known to parents because a lot of children end up getting RSV.
You know, my kids have had it, yeah. Obviously. We obviously had it already.
You guys got that covered, right.
Don't worry about it.
But unfortunately, the care for that is usually supportive. You know, there's not any, it's a virus, you can't give antibiotics, so you just kind of have to wait it out. And it can be really tough, especially for parents, when children are having trouble breathing.
Sure.
And watching them just really struggle. So we do have the RSV vaccine now that we recommend to patients. We're not currently giving it because you have to wait for RSV season to come about, which is kind of that general fall, winter, early spring. But we're able to offer that, and it protects against, like I said, the RSV. Usually, kids will get like bronchiolitis, which is kind of a bronchial, condition. And again, makes it hard to breathe. They end up struggling. It's awful to see.
It's gotta be terrible. Oh my God. To see your kids struggling to breathe when they're just babies and infants, that's gotta be horrible. And my husband and I got the RSV for the first time this year. And is this going to be annual like a flu shot, Dr. Hanks? The RSV will just be part of your annual thing.
Yep. And patients can have the choice of getting it in pregnancy or to have the baby get it afterwards. So when do we give it in pregnancy?
We give it. So it's based on when the due date is. Mm-hmm. So you want to give it at 32 to 36 weeks. But you want to make sure that like the due date falls within the RSV season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a little confusing. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And again, this is obviously something you have to talk to with your doctor about.
Exactly. So we're doing it for passive immune, so the babies get it. So why are we giving it at 32 weeks and not 28 weeks, like we just said for Tdap?
That's a great question.
So the initial studies that came out about the RSV vaccine, showed that there was a slight non-statistical significant increase in preterm birth in patients that got the RSV vaccine from 28 weeks to 32 weeks. So when I say like non-statistical, that means that more studies needed.
Sure.
So they're not sure if it was related to or not, but because there was this increase, we are recommending patients wait until 32 weeks. I think there will be more data to support us giving it sooner at some point, maybe not this year, you know, in the next year or so. But for now, the recommendation is 32 to 36.
Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday from 11:30 until 12 for public cervix announcement. Today, she was joined by medical student Brittany. Best of luck, Brittany. You got a good teacher sitting there right next to you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week, Dr. Laura. Thank you, Calvin. You have had a long, long day. He's been on the board since 6 o'clock this morning. Thank you so much, Calvin, and to all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you, Brian Kelly, and thank you most of all to you for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.